What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. A brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, X account, channel, never know what to call it, Twitter, and YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, follow at Boiler Break Pod if you haven't already. And if you're listening to us on your favorite audio podcast platform, please make sure you're subscribed or following on there as well. And give us a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, how are we doing tonight?
Feeling pretty damn good, Tan. How about you?
Amen, brother. I was, you know, last week I'm like, hopefully we're back talking about.
Well, we're going to be back regardless.
We're going to be back regardless. You're right. Yeah. But I didn't want to have to do the dreaded early exit recap like we did last year. That was pretty miserable.
Yeah, but I meant to go back and listen to that just to kind of see what the just how it went. I'm glad I did, because why ruin the good mood?
No, exactly. It was a good week. Good week to be a Boiler fan. We'll definitely talk about the wins over Grambling State and the wins over Utah State. But first, we better let everybody know, if you don't know already, that the Boiler Breakdown podcast is part of Big Banter Sports. We are their Purdue affiliate for both basketball and football. We're excited to be a part of their network and getting to chop it up with other podcasts affiliated with the Big Ten schools. And Evan was on the Big Ten Huddle podcast last Wednesday. Content's a little dated now, but you can still go check it out. Still good stuff on there.
Yes, yeah, so I got the it was me, JR, the host, and then a guy from, I'm not sure if they're on Big Banter, but it was a Nebraska affiliate of podcast, and I feel really bad because I was really, because he was so excited. He was actually in Memphis covering Nebraska's game. They just started their podcast this last year, and it's like really exploding and taking off. So awesome for them. But I was, if you listen to it, you can hear how much I wanted Nebraska to win for him, just because they've never experienced a tournament win. And fortunately, I got bounced pretty hard by Texas A&M, unfortunately. But it was still fun. It was a good podcast. We talked about all Big Ten games in the first weekend of the tournament. And I think I was pretty spot on with all. I think I actually got all, except for the, I think the Nebraska game was the only game I got wrong. So yeah. I think I picked Wisconsin to lose. I picked Northwestern. Actually, I might have picked Northwestern to lose. I don't remember. I don't remember.
The way you're talking in our group chat, I'm guessing you picked Northwestern.
I probably did, Florida Atlantic. Yeah. I think their injuries is probably what made me choose against them.
Yeah, but how do you think the Big Ten's fared overall? I mean, of course, the best two teams, Purdue and Illinois, are on to Sweet 16. Michigan State bounced second round. Northwestern bounced second round. Then, like you mentioned, Wisconsin, Nebraska bounced in the first round. But, I mean, not too many surprises, I guess, there.
No, I think it fared pretty – is about as like we expected it to. Maybe you could have maybe flip flop Northwestern and Wisconsin. Like maybe we thought Northwestern was going to lose just because of their injuries.
Right.
Maybe we thought, Wisconsin, I didn't pick up anything more just out of spite after them beating Purdue in the Big Ten tournament. Them being a 5-seed playing a James Madison team, a team who had played pretty well all year and had obviously already beat a Big Ten team in Michigan State first game of the season. But I felt like, I really didn't see a whole lot of teams making out of the first weekend outside of Purdue and Illinois, and I was hoping it was just going to be Purdue. But alas, here we are. But I think, in Nebraska, I guess I was hoping Nebraska would be able to put on a show their first game. I didn't think they were going to be able to beat Houston, but I was hoping at least like Tominaga would be able to at least make it fun and make it a fun weekend. But unfortunately, they all got bounced. But yeah, Purdue and Illinois kind of just dominated. I expected them to win, but not in the way that they did.
100% agree. And Purdue started that journey over the weekend with Friday night primetime game, which they were slated just like last year when they took on 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson last year. But this year was against Grambling State, and Purdue took care of business 78-50. Purdue was up at half 36-27. And I still had the nerves going a little bit at that point.
I was very nervous,
But it made me feel better when I looked up the box score from last year's game against FDU, and FDU was up one.
You texted Andrew and I about that, and I completely forgot about that. I guess I always thought like Purdue was kind of like up 3-5 for the whole game until the end when we just couldn't pull away, but I forgot that Purdue was down. I actually probably felt better last year at halftime than I did this year, just because I was like, oh, it's a half. Usually you see that a lot of 16 seeds kind of, exert all their energy in the first half, keep it close, and then, the talent prevails. But that obviously didn't happen. But it definitely happened this year.
Yep. I thought Grambling played hard. I thought they had a good game plan. Yes, I text that loyal viewer of the podcast, Thad Mooney, as well, as he's noting that on Facebook. I text a couple people that just I had to calm everybody's nerves down. Yeah, all mine.
I appreciate it.
My phone was going nuts. So I'm like, all right, I had to walk a few people off the edge there, so including myself. But I thought Grambling played hard. I thought they had a good game plan. You know, they attacked, they were physical, but in the end, like you said, just talent prevailed. Purdue played very well in the second half. Looking at the game, Zach Edey was amazing. 30 points, 21 rebounds, and 31 minutes of action. I mean, that's just domination. I don't even know how else to describe it. Only two other Boilers were in double-digit scoring figures. Braden Smith and TKR, Trey Kaufman-Rim, both had 11. Braden had 10 assists, 5 rebounds. TKR had 7 rebounds. Fletcher Lawyer had 8 points. Camden Heidi, 8 points. Lance Jones, 6 points. And then your scoring came from Carson Barrett, 3 points, which he made a lot of people happy in Vegas and a lot of people not so happy.
Yeah.
And Will Berg had 1 point.
I was actually a fan at the gym the next day, and he was like, yeah, I had Grambling State plus 26 and a half or whatever it was. So when Carson hit that shot, although he was a pretty fan, he was pretty pissed.
yeah. It's good for Carson. He had 3 points on the season going into that shot, and awesome for them.
I mean, it's like usually in the regular season, usually you don't see guys take that shot. Cause it's, again, you know, it's regular season and you're up big. You don't want to be a jerk and run up the score. But when it's tournament time, I feel like all bets are off. If you're a walk on, you get up, you just start chucking shots. It could be your only chance to ever play in the NCAA tournament. Get it while you can. It's awesome for him.
Yep.
Shout out to Barrett.
Yep. I agree. And I should note that Mason Gillis, Miles Colvin, Caleb First, Chase Martin, Ethan Morton, and Brian Waddell all played against Grambling, just did not score.
I didn't realize that Mason didn't score. I know he was 0 for 3, 0 for 2 from 3, but I feel like I thought he scored at least 1 point.
He played 17 minutes, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. But
you think he was hurt? I feel like he might have been like, I don't know if he just felt off. I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, nerves. Because he kind of felt like, I feel like there's 1 point in the first half where he kind of felt like they were getting
a little bit. Yeah. Some guys were starting to hesitate their shots a little bit. It's like, here we go.
Yeah, but then thankfully they kind of just blew it open in the second half and didn't look back. Yep.
For the game, Purdue shot 47.5%, 28 for 59. Grambling was 36.4%, 20 for 55. Grambling only took 12 threes, made 3 of them for 25%. Purdue took 24, made 9 of them for 37.5%.
Almost doubled last year's 3-point makes against SU. I think we passed it like in the first half we had surpassed our total 3-point makes against FDU last year. So
Purdue did struggle from the free throw line, 13 for 22 for 59.1%. Zach Edey had a rough game from the free throw line. Grambling was 7 for 10 for 70%. Purdue killed him on the boards as expected, 48-23. Offensively, 18-5. Defensively, 30-18. Assists, Purdue at 23, Grambling 11. Grambling did beat Purdue in blocks, 6-5.
Yeah, steals, they were 8-4. Yeah. I feel like I hadn't seen Zach get blocked like that. Yeah, they timed it really well.
And then Purdue at 10 turnovers, Grambling at 6, Grambling at 19 personal fouls, Purdue only 6. So Purdue did a really good job defending without fouling, as they do often, unless you're part of the national media and don't think so. But that's all right. So overall, just a good win. It's kind of sad how much relief I felt after beating a 16
seed. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that too, because it's just like, you know, going into the game, you know, I was like, this team, you know, should by all means blow this team out of the water. Like we've seen it all year. Like they took care of like every non-con game against the, you know, an inferior opponent. They beat Samford, a tourney team, by 50. They beat Morehead State, a tourney team, by 30. Granted, it was all at Mackey, but I mean, Grainbridge might as well have been Mackey South. Of course, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Have shout out to everybody that went there.
Yeah. You wouldn't know that in the first 10 minutes compared to the debacle that was getting into the arena. Good friend Cameron Day, he was texting me saying that he got in, was able to get a beer like right when the game started. Like, so it's just crazy. But there was just part of me that was just like, if this game is close, like at half, like within like, I mean, that 9 was probably around that threshold of just like, man, if it's like, I don't know how's the team going to respond? I remember I was pacing really badly, but finally, thankfully Prue was able to kind of just create some space and just kind of wear Grambling down like they should. But yeah, it was kind of sad just how, like, afterwards I was just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because because as we kind of talked last week, it was just like, going into this year, I was like, hey, we've seen the worst things that could possibly happen is as a tournament team, like one losing to a 16. But like last week, I was like, well, it'd be a lot worse if we lost again. It'd be way worse.
Cameron Day on Facebook says, well, apparently Bragg's in the stands said we suck as fans, went on a 5-minute rant after the 28-point blowout.
Yeah. You know what he's referring to?
No, I didn't, yeah, didn't hear
it. Boilers in the stands, Bragg's just saying, like,
Bragg's from there.
Like, yeah, he was just saying that, you know, Purdue fans can do better, like, because it was, you could tell there's a lot of nervous interest. I don't blame people. Like, if I'd have been in the stands, I would have been a nervous wreck and all that. But yeah, thankfully, I thought Purdue fans showed up pretty well.
Yeah, no, they came across pretty loud on TV. So, yeah. Hopefully they show up well in Detroit too.
Yeah.
But we'll have a few other fan bases in that region, that at least one that travels pretty well, and they're pretty obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But no, it was good to get past Grambling. Good to not pick out our food, just take care of business, eat it. Mm-hmm. So then we got a matchup against the Utah State Aggies, who took care of TCU pretty handily. Yeah. I did not have that in my bracket, which 8-9s, they're toss ups every time. They're toss up games.
I think going into this year, I was looking at, like, there was some tweet or something about, you know, percentages of the lower seed upsetting the, and it was just like, I think 9 was at like 49% or something. Like, it was just like, it's, it might as well be 50-50.
Yep.
Did you have a preference of the two going into, like, that game?
No, I really didn't. And I watched probably half to 3/4 of that game that night before I called it a night. And I didn't care.
I think I was leaning towards Utah State because I don't know anything about either team. I just knew that obviously TCU is a power six school. They've come in the Big 12. Jamie Dixon's a hell of a coach. I heard they had big guards, so like to get up on you defensively. So I was like, maybe Utah State might be the better one. And then I see Utah State blow them out. I'm like, maybe we get
Utah. I'll never forget in 2011 when we beat St. Peter's. And I was fortunate enough to be there at the United Center. And we're watching, me and the guys we went with, watching VCU and Georgetown. And we're rooting for VCU. The whole crowd's really for VCU.
Were they an 11 seed?
Yeah, 11, and Georgetown was 6. And it's Georgetown, you know? So
yeah.
It's like, yeah, we don't want to play them. We'll play with VCU. Then we start watching. We looked at each other like, we're rooting for the wrong team. And then VCU went on that great Final Four run. And they were good.
Yeah,
they were good. I was hoping it wasn't going to be one of those situations, and thankfully it wasn't. Purdue won by a biggest margin of any Big Ten team in the tournament since 1999.
Wow.
Second biggest margin of any round of 32 defeat ever, I believe. 106-67. And it could have been worse than that if Purdue really wanted it to be.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that I think 106 is the most points Purdue's ever scored in a tournament game. I think 104 was the previous high. Just an absolute clinic. I tweeted from our account, hoping that it would be kind of similar to 2019 second round game against Villanova, where Purdue just, took it to them and Carson blew them up. We Purdue cruised to a easy double digit win. And I was joking, hoping that would happen just from a fan standpoint of just being being able just to relax during a second round game. Cause I felt like, I heard like people talk about it, and again, it's probably more just the fan side, but I know like Andy Katsas says, like, he thinks Purdue has more pressure to make it out of the first weekend than they would the second weekend, just because of what happened last year. So I was just like, if we can just get out of the first weekend, like get that, get that monkey off our back, as a team. But yeah, I did not see this coming. I was kind of I was really mad at the start of the game. Thought everybody was playing like crap outside of TKR. And then all of a sudden a switch just flipped and that team just took off, and I could not believe what was happening.
Yeah, it's pretty much from the 8-minute mark from the first half on. It kind of started, I would say, with the Camden Heidi rebound and dunk.
Itself was a good play, but like when you think back, like it's such an athletic play. Like,
oh, it was. It
rebound was and just like jump off 2 feet and jam it as easily as he did. Like, we all know he's a stupid athlete, but like it's just such an athletic play.
Oh, yeah. The athleticism of him and Miles Colvin, who's definitely getting good amount of run lately. Purdue didn't have that last year. Even Lance Jones adds dynamics Purdue didn't have. And finally the nation's waking up to realize this is not the same Purdue team as last year. They, Zach Edey has even improved, even though he was the national player of the year last year. He's improved. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, they've improved. Mason Gillis has improved. Like, each of these guys have put in work to improve. So,
yeah. I mean, it's just like also just in just like the raw data, like the fact that, I mean, pretty last year was like probably in the 200s in 3-point shooting at like 32-33%. Yep. And now they're second behind Kentucky in 3-point percentage. So, like, yeah, it's just a totally different team. As much as like, which is again, was going back to that first game, which is like, hopefully that was going to be the difference. And it obviously was.
Yeah, and we just kind of hit on it, but Cameron Day here on Facebook said, boys, let's talk about keeping Heidi and Miles in Payne's back pocket all season long and unleashes their athletic prowess in the tournament to guard these fast guards.
Yeah, I do wonder, and I've heard this talked about in another podcast, but it's like, you know, has Payne kind of been, you know, holding these guys back like on purpose just to kind of, cause I know there's been referenced, like Izzo used to do that with some guys where like he wouldn't showcase what they can do as, you know, as often as, you know, he'd like. I mean, it's crazy. I think I've glitched out for a second. You got me.
I got you back. Yep. Okay, yep. I wasn't sure if it was on my end or yours. So
it's probably my Wi-Fi. Back, so yeah. It's all good. But I mean, obviously, like, all year we kind of saw, you know, first come in, you know, Morton was usually one of the first guys, especially if there was a guy, you know, a guard that was giving Purdue trouble. But you didn't see first or Morton until time, which, I mean, credit to them for having great attitudes. And we saw, you know, photos of, you know, and the second round game of Morton coming off the court and just like all smiles with Painter. And, you know, obviously I'm sure this sucks from a personal standpoint for them, but the fact that they're just, you know, putting that aside for the betterment of the team and hopefully bringing those guys along. Cause those guys, I mean, Colvin and Heidi have a tremendous future at Purdue and with just their athleticism and what they can do. But yeah, I mean, Miles has been night and day different than what he was even just like in January. He's guarding, he's going after rebounds before he'd never even go after rebounds. And it's just been, I mean, yeah, it was a, you know, adding Colvin was kind of that nice spark. I mean, Smith went out with two fouls, even though that second foul was complete BS, where he got called for offensive foul. Like, he brought in Colvin off the bench, which was pretty wild because it's like you think, you know, a backup point guard, but he brought in Colvin and he nails a three right away and just kind of kept that offense going. And Purdue was able to pull away without, you know, one of the best point guards in the country on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a nice sight to see for sure. These two coming in off the bench, and it proves the Purdue's depth too. And like you mentioned, like Ethan Morton, Caleb First, they've been part of the rotation all year, and not so much the first two games. Not saying they're not going to be needed in Detroit because they
very well could be.
Yeah. Very well could be. But they haven't been needed the first two games. Hopefully that continues, and hopefully they get run via Purdue blowing out
opponents.
Hopefully that continues. But looking at the box score from Sunday, Zach Edey led all scorers game with 23 points, 14 boards. Only two of those points came in the second half because he didn't have to play much in the second half.
That's wild.
Craig Kaufman ran a great game to show out. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Fletcher Lawyer.
The best game as a Purdue player. That's true. I think about that because there was a game he had last year where Edey was sick and it was against, I don't know, some no-name school, and he like had like 20 plus points. But I was just so impressed with just his effort, his attitude out there. Like, he just, it just goes to show, like, Purdue's not gonna, I mean, obviously it's hard to, you know, not looking forward to next year, but like taking there's not gonna be as big of a drop off as some people probably hope Purdue has.
I still think Purdue will be ranked to start the year next year. I think Trey Coffin-Ren has the potential to be an all Big Ten player. He's definitely got to get the touches. He's got to work on his free throws a little bit because he's got to shoot even more of them next year than he does this year. But plenty of time for that. So, great game for him. He was definitely a difference maker. Fletcher Lawyer, I think he's played really high level of basketball the past month, and I was on his case in January and part of February, but he has shut me up.
Definitely so. I mean, he wasn't playing well, but it's just, credit for Painter for not listening to us idiot fans.
He knows what he's doing. That's why he gets paid what he does. And
yeah,
that's why we talk into these.
And yeah, that's why he sticks with them. And yeah, Fletch has been awesome.
Yep. 15.6 assists. And then Camden Heidi, 10 points, 3 rebounds. Lance Jones, 9 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Braden Smith, 5 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Mason Gillis, 6 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. Miles Colvin, 9 points, 1 assist, 3 rebounds. Caleb First played but did not score. Brian Waddell, nice to see him get 5 points. Mm-hmm. Ethan Morton played, did not score. Will Berg played, 4 points, 1 assist, 4 rebounds.
Had a Chase nice Martin. Little turnaround, too. Like
he did, to get 100.
That was a nice little shot.
Chase Martin Carson Barrett played, did not score. Sam King, 2 points, one rebound.
Yeah, Sam had the layup to put us at 106.
Got some comments here on Facebook. Need to run more plays for TKR.
Like I said, having been playing on the matchups and all that, like, I mean, he's so good at when he gets the ball and that defender, like, even like shifts their weight to one side. He's so good about spinning the opposite direction, keeping control of it and getting to the hoop. Like, it's a really impressive show of athleticism.
And these are just more numbers for the whole Zach Edey's just tall crowd. Through two tournament games, 26.5 points per game, 17.5 rebounds, three blocks while shooting 67.9%. Yeah, he's we just cannot taller. Take this for granted.
He's just tall, though, yeah.
That's he's it. Just tall, but... and I love his attitude right now after the games, the post-game on the court. You know, he's pretty short. He's a lot shorter. That was a bad play on words. He is not short by any means. He's short with his words, shorter with his words than usual. But he is, I just think that's not him being a jerk or being arrogant. It's just him being focused and keeping the team focused. You know, it's great to make Sweet 16, but this isn't our end goal.
Right. They said he didn't come back to make the Sweet 16. He came back to make a deep run to the Final Four and beyond. So, I mean, yeah, credit to them. I mean, it shows the mentality of this team. And we've heard all year long just how confident this team is. And I feel like that hasn't wavered at all. And now that, you know, they've kind of got that. I mean, I don't know how much pressure they felt, you know, after that first game. You have to think they probably felt a little bit, you know, relieved. You know, I mean, maybe that's just why they unleashed hell on Utah State. Hopefully that continues into the Sweet 16 and beyond.
Right. No easy games remaining. I mean, that started with Utah State. I mean, all the 16 teams left in the tournament, there's no Cinderellas. I don't call San Diego State a Cinderella. They were the national runner-up last year. Don't call Gonzaga a Cinderella. They've made 9 freaking Sweet 16s in a row.
Same.
And 2 of those years, they were national runner-up. I mean, the highest seeds, NC State, but they're as 11, but they're in a big power conference in ACC, and they're hot right now.
Yeah, they won their conference tournament. That's why they're here. Yeah,
they're hot. So so it's pretty chalky. I mean, it was not complete chalk. In the Midwest region, just saying that Gonzaga beat Kansas, so they're the 5 seed instead of the 4. But I think Gonzaga is better than Kansas, so it's gonna be an interesting matchup Friday night. I mean, these two teams have become well acquainted with each other the last 2 years. We saw them in Maui in November, where Purdue won by 10. We saw them last year in Portland, the PK, which Purdue I don't remember the final in that game, but I think it was more than 10. But Purdue's 4-0 all time against Gonzaga. But I expect a close game.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, few, like you said, 9 Sweet 16s in a row. Like, it's, you know, you can talk about, you know, deep runs and all that, all you want, lack of Final Fours or lack of national championship on his end, but he's a hell of a coach. He's been there forever. He's built that program from, you know, into, you know, as close to national powerhouse as you can possibly get without, you know, having a title. You know, they get, you know, the high-end recruits. You know, they obviously the conference isn't that they play in isn't the best, but I mean, it's no slouch. I mean, St. Mary's is a hell of a team and all that, but I mean, it's, you don't want to take them lightly because they're here for a reason, as every team is. Like, you don't get here by accident. It's going to be definitely going to be a dogfight. I hope Purdue can blow them out, but just to make it easy on the fan, but yeah, it's going to be, there's no easy game left.
Are you glad that Purdue's the first game? Or were you hoping they were the second game?
In terms of, between like Tennessee and Creighton?
Yeah, for Friday itself.
I don't care. I don't really care.
I mean, we have no say in the matter, but I was just curious.
I didn't even think about that. I probably just from a, it's not super late standpoint. Like, I'll have to sit, I probably just have to sit around and wait all day for it. But hopefully Purdue can just take care of business and then I can cheer on for Creighton.
Yes, I'm right.
So I'm not even sure if that's even the right move.
I don't either.
I'm just staying for Tennessee.
I'm just tired of playing Tennessee. I'm tired of playing basketball. I'm tired of playing football. Don't know if we play them in too many other sports. I'm just tired of playing them. And I know if we're to see them in the Elite Eight, I'm sure their fans are going to be chirping at us on social media. Is what it is. And if anybody's not trying to look ahead, but if anybody's assuming Purdue wins Friday, if anybody's trying to go to the Elite Eight on Sunday, I think we as a collective whole need to root for Creighton to win, because I'm almost guaranteeing that Tennessee's buying more tickets, 100%. And then so there'll be more to sell if Tennessee loses.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah,
but Creighton, think about that. Creighton will have a decent following too. I think Gonzaga is going to have the least amount of fans, but geography standpoint, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so, just, you know, I mean, smaller school, less alumni, all that kind of stuff. But
But I sure hope the fans that showed out in Indianapolis make the drive up to Detroit, because, you know, after Louisville, I didn't know if we'd get that opportunity again. And Detroit's
as close you can get. As close as you can get.
Yep. So, I mean, because there's no Chicago region or anything like that. So the only other, I remember in 2005 when Illinois went to the championship and lost to North Carolina, their path was unbelievable. It was Indianapolis the first two rounds, Chicago for the regional rounds, then St. Louis for the Final Four.
Yeah.
And they packed the play. Yeah. I mean, it was almost unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was, and they should have lost in the Elite Eight. Arizona had them dead in the water, but until a miraculous comeback. But no, looking forward to it. I'm nervous. Don't get me wrong. I'm nervous.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. There is a question I've been meaning to ask you, and I feel like I can ask you now that we've got past the first weekend. You know, there's so much talk amongst Purdue fans and national media of Final Four. Haven't been there since 1980. Final Four, Final Four, Final Four. Are you afraid if Purdue gets to the Final Four that then the team will let up a little bit mentally, just knowing they did something that no Purdue team has done since 1980? Or because, like, in my standpoint, you have to make the Final Four to win the national championship. So it's a huge accomplishment, don't get me wrong. But you're that dang close. Go win the whole damn thing. That's, you know.
That's a great question. I don't think this team would. They've been top three all year long. I feel like, you know, obviously, yes, the Final Four is, you know, is a huge stepping stone from a program, but I feel like, I think they had the same thing, like, hey, like, great accomplishment. Like, obviously it's huge for the program, but like, exactly. We're, you know, we've won two game tournaments. Let's go win a third and bring this damn thing home. So like, I think it's, again, it's more probably from a fan standpoint of, like, you know, are we just happy to be there sort of thing? Like, you know, I feel like I heard that about the Rose Bowl in 2001 of, like, you know, Purdue was just like, hey, we're happy to be here because we've been here since like the 60s. Yeah. But I feel like this team is just so focused on seeing this thing to the very end. I don't think that'd be an issue. You're probably going to play like more than likely a Duke, a Marquette, if I had to guess. So, like, you know, Marquette, obviously, again, a team that Purdue's played multiple times in the last couple of years.
Yep.
And then Duke is Duke, and you can't take Duke lightly no matter what their season is.
Don't count out Houston either. They might have got the right call they needed, but they're not playing solid basketball now. So, it's just interesting because, you know, I was thinking about today. It's like, it would definitely be the biggest Purdue accomplishment as far as revenue generated sports since Purdue made the Rose Bowl. And it's crazy to think the gap between 67 Rose Bowl 01, shorter gap than 1980 to 2024 Final Four.
Yeah, it's wild.
Got a comment here from Jeff Parks on YouTube. Sleepers Media and Boilers and Stands are going to be live in Detroit. Are you guys going to be there so that Boiler Prods rule the airwaves that night?
Definitely will be there Friday.
I will not either.
Yeah.
Saturday's up or Sunday's up in the air.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Assuming Purdue can win on Friday, hopefully we can get there. I think the difference between us and Boilers and Stands is they have media credentials. We do not.
They do. Maybe that's something we should look into eventually, but.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
I would feel bad because I'm too much of a fan to, like.
I know. I'm right there.
I feel like I hear about fanboys and other, you know, other teams, media. It's like, I don't want that. But yeah, because it'd be no way that I could sit at a game in Mackey in press row and not cheer like an asshole.
That was one of the most difficult things for me being a football manager the 2 years I was in college. Was at a lot of times I had to turn my fandom off. Everybody during games wanted us to win. You could cheer, but you couldn't cheer like you could in the stands.
Yeah. And you have other, like, responsibilities. Like, you have to, watch the game. You have to be doing your job.
Things you got to do. So that part was interesting for 2 years. I kind of had to hone back a little bit, but
I meant to ask you, because I was listening to Goodman and Hummel podcast earlier today, and I don't know if it's just Goodman being Goodman or what, but
no,
he's just, like being, you know, obviously he's paying tuition dollars to IU, so it's just, you know, reverse jinx. But like, he's like, I don't see how Gonzaga stands a chance. Like, shut the hell up.
They are only 7 to 8 guys deep.
Yes, they don't have. They're probably more inclined to play Zach one-on-one, which I guess as Purdue gets deeper into tournament, I feel better about our Purdue standards just because of the fact that, I mean, as we've seen over the last 2 years, is like teams who try and play basketball against Purdue and play Zach one-on-one without, you know, turning into a football match, you know, sans Tennessee, Purdue usually has been victorious, like, because you can't stop them.
Yep. I mean, they're still a very talented team. They're 16 or 17 and 2 since middle of January. I mean, everybody kind of wrote them off, and here they are again. Mm-hmm. I think the X factor is going to be, like it is every game, taking care of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of the ball. I'm confident Brain Smith's going to have a good game because he has the two previous times he's played against Gonzaga, and he gets a little fired up to play Gonzaga. There's multiple reasons.
And he didn't play well this last game. So it's like, you know, whenever he has a bad game, I feel like he usually comes out like, whatever motivation that kid needs, like, by all means do it. But I'm just like, when Jeff was talking about, I was like, God, you're just giving them bolts of board material.
I know. I heard that too. Which I feel like a lot of the country is all of a sudden. A lot of the country went from being skeptical of Purdue for whatever reason this past weekend to, you know, Wally Szczerbiak picking Utah State. Thanks, Wally.
Andrew has something about Gonzaga, because he was like, you know, coming into the tournament, like probably the two biggest, the two biggest, like probably potential upsets people were picking was Samford over Kansas and McNeese over Gonzaga. And then, and then now it's just like kind of like it's completely flipped. I mean, I think, is Gonzaga's win over Kansas a little inflated just because of the fact that Kansas was down their best player? All that kind of stuff.
Coach was saying he's already been thinking about next year for a month, which was one of the dumbest things.
It's just funny how the narrative changes so quickly in the tournament. Like you said, like Purdue was like, you know, hey, can Purdue, you know, Purdue's not going to make it out of the first round. And now it's just like, oh, they're going to dominate. It's like, hold on. I want to go back to Downton Purdue.
I agree. But I think our guys, even though they do read the tweets, I think they do a pretty good job of putting that all in the back of their minds, not thinking about too much and just staying focused. This group's pretty special. And that's why I just don't want the journey to end yet. I mean, I enjoy watching them play.
But
I think my mind is at ease. I mean, this isn't the end goal by any means. I mean, this team probably should make a Final Four and maybe even win a national championship. But we know what can happen in tournaments. I mean, I would say out of 10 games, Purdue would beat Gonzaga more times than not out of those 10 games. But that's why the tournament's the tournament. But I think my mind is at ease knowing if Purdue does lose sometime between now and the national championship game, they've lost to a good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no, you know, like 2 years ago in the Sweet 16, there's no St. Peter's, which – I wasn't even a slight bit worried about that game in the Sweet 16. Yeah. I was already looking ahead to playing Carolina. Or whoever. I don't even remember who they played.
Same.
Not this time around. So, but looking forward to it. It's just more of the anticipation all week that's killing me. But I am glad we play Friday, so it gives me some carefree basketball to watch on Thursday night. I mean,
I mean, maybe it'll be different this week, but I know like last week, like Thursday, like, yes, it was nice to not have to worry about Purdue's game, but I remember like, it was just like the whole thing. I was just like, just play the freaking game. Like I just play the game. Like I know like all day Friday was super unproductive for me. I'm sure it was for a lot of Purdue fans, who, you know, chose to go to work and not do anything and still get paid for it. So shout out to all of you. so maybe some of us work from home, Tanner.
Actually, not on Fridays.
Not on Fridays. No, you don't. Never mind. But like, I just remember like Friday, I was just like, I was trying to enjoy games. Cause I mean, Thursday and Friday are by far the two best days. My favorite days of a sporting event or sporting year.
Just they're great.
There's just basketball on
yep
all the time, much to my wife's dismay. but yeah, because then it like obviously starts teetering off real fast. But yeah, it was hard to really enjoy Thursday, just because I was just like in the back of my head, I was like, just don't ruin this for me, Purdue, because like right. let me get to the weekend, because Saturday was a lot more enjoyable to watch. Oh, yeah. Just because I forgot that first win. But like yeah, going back to what you said, this team's so fun to watch and yeah. such a joy to cheer for and easy to cheer for, despite what the idiots on Twitter and you never hear those who actually play and coach against Zach and Purdue say the stuff that we hear on certain social media platforms and all that. But apparently Purdue's not fun to watch, which
so Shut many up. People on X aren't even real.
Right.
I mean, and I say that because there's a lot of bots out there that write yeah. stuff, but also it's people saying things to stir the pot, or people saying things that they wouldn't say in person.
It's just an echo chamber. They hear what they want to hear, and they're just parrots of each other.
Yep. And I've fired back at some before. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't, but I've also got into an argument with somebody and I look and they got 50 followers. I'm like, oh, you just created this account yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's is what it is. I mean, he's got to win. Zach's got to win another National Player of the Year. The people who know basketball are giving him mm-hmm. his accolades and his compliments. And call me crazy. I not only think he's going to get drafted, I'm starting to think late first round.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year's draft is pretty weak, so that definitely plays to his advantage for sure. But Kenny Smith said it really well on yeah. I might have been halftime of the Utah State game or something like that, where he's like, I've talked with Tennessee fans about, they're like, oh, Dalton Connect's gonna be a way better pro. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of that. Like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, this is not the Player of the Year award does not go to who's gonna be the best pro. Otherwise, some freshman would win it every single year. You might as well give it to Cooper Flagg of next year, because he's going to go probably number one in next year's NBA draft coming out of Duke. But it's like, he's like, a smart team will draft him and play him 6 to 12 minutes a game, like, and just like play
the big guy rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give the big guy a rest and like, for once, for a 12-minute stretch play, old school basketball of like having an actual center on this court rather than just having five positionless players. Like, again, good luck guarding him, like, because he's just, as you hear, like, I've heard Hunter Dickinson talk about his podcast about, like, how, guarding Zach, like, his bottom half is just so strong, you can't move him. Like, the only way you can move him, and you heard Utah State, one of the Utah State players, I think, say, like, you have to, the only way to stop is you have to foul him. Because, they did the same thing with Shaq back in the 90s of just, that was why Hack a Shaq is a thing. Like, yep. You couldn't stop him because he was a freight train. And you couldn't, he was going to just, murder your entire family if he dunked on you. but you could foul him because he wasn't going to make his free throws. But with right. Zach, more often than not, he's going to make his free throws. Right. So it's just, it is what it is. We've seen it, when other players throughout, the course of history. But it's like, all you can do is just try and beat him up.
Yeah, it's interesting going against Gonzaga. They're not going to be surprised by Zach. They played him.
No, that's my one worry. Just like, I like playing teams that have never played him before because they don't know what to expect. So that doesn't give me cause for concern. But again, as Jeff here, they don't really have depth. So they can't play that, as Chris Collins say, we got 15 fouls to use. Like, we're going to use them. It's like they don't have that option. I think that's just I think credit to Zach too, is just like how much he just wears teams down. I think you saw that with Graham. Yep. You saw it with Utah. Just like, yeah, they may be able to hang with him for a little bit, but by the end of the day, it takes a lot out of you to just stand in the paint with him, because he's going to just obliterate you if he backs you down. So
I'd love to see him land a high altitude team like the Nuggets or the Jazz in the NBA, and get his body, which he's in good shape, get his body in shape, and then that can also help wear people down, guarding mm-hmm. Zach and in the altitude. Mm-hmm. Be a deadly reserve center combination there.
Backup Jokic should be awesome.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun. So, all right. Let's go through the NCAA games and do some predictions.
How's your bracket looking? Or your bracket?
Busted. Oh, busted. I filled out one bracket multiple places. I have two of my four Final Four left and one of one half of my national championship games left. If that tells you anything.
Yeah, I've got most of my brackets are pretty similar. I'm in first in one of the challenges that you and I are both in, but I've got my actually I What am I Final Four? I had Auburn in that Final Four. That
one, I had Auburn in the Final Four.
I had Auburn, Carolina, Purdue, and Marquette. The one for I have for work, I think I had that one, which is probably the biggest payout. I'm in sixth, but I've got Kentucky and Auburn in my Final Four. So that I have Kentucky, Auburn, and Baylor in my Final Four, and Baylor in my so I've got Purdue left in that one. So I am struggling on that one.
At Auburn in the Final Four, I had Baylor in championship. So there we go. I had Purdue and Houston in the other half. So yeah. Oh well. I took a shot with Baylor because I wanted to be different. And I took a shot with Auburn eliminating UConn in the Sweet 16 because I'm like, I don't know. Everybody's picking UConn. I had to be different. I should have just went chalk. But that's what brackets are for. So speaking of UConn, they have won 8 straight tournament games by double-digit points. They are 10.5 point favorites over San Diego State. This is a rematch from last year's national championship.
I didn't even I was listening to other podcasts. I didn't even register that this was the rematch because I totally forgot that they made the championship. I think UConn kind of like last year's championship. I think they just take care of business. They're really good. I mean, obviously, like people want to debate Purdue or UConn. Like, I'm completely fine with them settling it, you know, in Phoenix on Monday, the last game of the season, and go from there. But I mean, they're legit. Obviously, I mean, they're you know, reigning national champs for a reason. Dan Hurley looks for anything and everything to like. He was talking to Matt Norlander or somebody like after they won, played the Sweet 16. Like, and like, oh yeah, by the way, you're on Thursday. And he's like, oh, just, you know, just us against the world mentality. You know, they put us against Northwestern versus FAU. You know, having Auburn. I was like, okay, you're going from Brooklyn to Boston and you're from Connecticut. Like San Diego State is in Spokane right now and they're flying to Boston. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
It is what it is, but I think they roll in that one.
Yeah. He's annoying, but hey, he's got an agenda and a strategy for his team that's working. So, really intriguing matchup. The other Big Ten matchup here, 3-seed Illinois, 2-seed Iowa State. This line has moved since I saw it first. Iowa State's a 1.5 point favorite.
Start at Iowa State 2.5. I mean, the storyline is, you know, you've got Illinois, who's number one in KenPom, you know, efficient offense, and you got Iowa State, who's number one in KenPom defense. Yeah. You know, that'd be really interesting to see. I mean, Iowa State really gets after it. They can shut down, like Jeff says, they can shut down anybody. I mean, they absolutely, granted, I mean, they don't have the offense that Illinois does, but they absolutely obliterated Houston in the Big 12 championship. Like, I mean, Houston barely even scored. I'm praying Iowa State wins, but I think I'm gonna pick Illinois just because I feel like, you know, a lot of times when you have good offense versus good defense, good offense can often wins out. Illinois defense, you know, ranking wise, they're not great, but there's some times if they can turn it on, they're really good because they've got a ton of length, ton of athleticism. So we'll see. But I think Illinois, unfortunately,
wins. I'm right there with you. I think Illinois wins a close one. And I should note, and I'm sure all the Purdue fans listening to this realize this, Purdue has played 6 teams in the Sweet 16 this year, beat them all. So their overall record against the Sweet 16, 7-0, because 2 of those were against Illinois. So pretty darn cool. Yeah,
Purdue will struggle when they get out of the Big Ten, though. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Yep. If we only listen to the national analyst. Yeah. Down in the West, we got 1-seed North Carolina, 4.5 point favorites against 4-seeded Alabama.
It's going to be a really fun game. Say Shan here says, I got Iowa State being UConn myself. Probably worth thinking, though. Yeah.
Could happen.
The UNC versus Alabama. I mean, it should be a high scoring game. I'm gonna look at their.
I don't like Alabama.
I don't either. They're
very dirty against Grand Canyon.
Yeah, North Carolina is 16th in offense, 6th in defense. Alabama is 4th in offense, 101st in defense. I think UNC gets it done.
I do too. And then that leads me to this question for you. Then do we get the storyline in the lead eight between Caleb Love's new team in Arizona against his old team, North Carolina, or you could almost say this team's another ACC Cinderella, 6-seed Clemson. Do they roll on?
I mean, they were
7.5 point favorites.
Yeah. Clemson was one of the last undefeated teams in the country this year. I remember. I think at one point I think after Purdue lost Northwestern, they interviewed, I think it was their, I think Hall is their big guy. They interviewed him. They sent something, and he's like, well, they asked him about Purdue or whatever. He's like, well, they don't have a 0 next to their name like we do. I'm like, okay. good team. I have not paid attention to Clemson really. I mean, they, after they kind of fell off from the undefeated wagon, I kind of just stopped paying attention. And I just don't care about ACC basketball, but I think Arizona gets it done.
Yeah, I went with Clemson last time on other podcast, but I'm going to reverse course and go with Arizona here. I think Arizona's the better team.
Yes.
I just wanted to be different there and throw out enough
stuff. I'm a big KenPom fan. So we got the Arizona's ninth in the offense, 10th in defense, so probably one of the more balanced teams in terms of like offense and defense. Besides Connecticut, they're 2-8, Purdue's 3-16, respectively. Then you've got, who are they playing?
Clemson.
Clemson. Where the heck is Clemson? Oh, they're 23rd. So they got 24th and 38th. So yeah, I think Arizona. Yeah. You got a big change in pace. So Arizona has the 16th fastest tempo, and Clemson is 256. So it's
slow it down. Run half court offense. In the South, got one seeded Houston, 4.5-point favorites against a 4-seeded Duke team that a lot of people, if it's possible to sleep on Duke, they've been doing. And I thought they've looked really impressive the first two rounds.
Yeah, and Houston obviously got really lucky in the second round against A&M, fouled out like half their team, had to put a, which credit to the walk on. I mean, credit for him for had to hit one and he did. Shout out to his teammates were like really picking him up before. And that was really cool to see. Samson's a hell of a coach.
He is.
You know, you wonder, is that their wake up call, as you sometimes see with one seeds or higher ranked seeds, of like, you know, they get one close win and then they kind of wake up and realize they're not, you know, invincible. I feel like this is the popular pick, but I'm going to go with Duke.
I am too.
Yeah. I mean, what's his face? Was it McCain who hit 8 threes?
Yeah. Yeah. In the first half.
Yeah.
Or close to the first half. 6 in the first half, I think. Maybe 8 total, or maybe, I don't know, something like that. But yeah, he was on fire the other day. So, then on the bottom half of the bracket, you got 11 seed NC State, who's on fire right now against 2 seed Marquette, 6.5-point favorites for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah. Marquette. First is Sweet 16 since what, 2013, I think is what it was. And then
Shaka. I just want to say Shaka.
You did that. You know,
I did that.
First 16, Sweet 16 since 2011. He made it with
crazy
VCU, which is, yeah, insane. I just didn't realize that. I guess, yeah, Marquette never made it with what's his face? That really good guard from just a couple years ago. Was it Howard? No.
Yeah, Howard was last name.
Howard, yeah, like he was never made it out of the first weekend. But
and then Shaka never made it in Texas.
Yeah, which there was his hands tied behind his back down there. But yeah. I think Marquette, I mean, NC State's an awesome story. I remember I was at a work event in first week of March, and I met, you know, a NC State grad. They were playing Duke that day, and he's like, I was like, oh, you're NC State? He's, yeah, we suck this year, and now they are in the Sweet 16. I think their run come short against Marquette. I mean, Kolek gets another week to kind of heal up from his whatever it is with
oblique.
Yeah. They're a really good team. They're there for the reason. So I think they take care of business.
It's fascinating that Purdue, if dominoes fall correctly, could play the same order in same teams they played in Maui.
Yeah.
Crazy. You were talking about NC State. Like growing up, I compared them a lot to Purdue.
100%. Up,
from a football and basketball standpoint, you know, they're never the state school. Heck, which unlike Purdue for basketball, they're probably the third looked school in their state, which thankfully Purdue's not in basketball. But they've always been interesting comparison there.
Mm-hmm.
Then before we pick the Purdue game, we'll pick the game after that. Number 3 seed Creighton, 2 seed Tennessee. Tennessee's a 2.5-point favorite.
So I think I'm cheering for Creighton. I don't know if that's the correct thing to cheer for because they can really fill it up from the guard spot. You know, Kalkbrenner. It'd be a cool from a story. I'm talking again because pretty recruited Kalkbrenner didn't get him, which led them to get the Edie. You know, would they try and guard Edie one on one? I don't know. Kalkbrenner's a hell of a defender. You know, but I think he would struggle against Edie because he's just so much bigger than him. I think I'm cheering for Creighton. I think again, it just comes out.
I'm cheering for Creighton.
Yeah, but I think Tennessee gets it done. Unfortunately,
I'll pick Creighton. I'll go different there for you. The Purdue Gonzaga. Purdue's 5.5-point favorites.
Picking the Boilers, obviously. Final score 75-70.
All right. I'll go 82-75 Purdue. And MVP. I'm not going Zach. That's just too easy. I got to go Braden Smith. I feel like
he's pick him. Dang it.
You can pick him too. Well, he's good against Gonzaga, and like you brought up a great point, he's coming off maybe not his best game against Utah State, and usually when that happens, he responds very well.
Ooh, Mark.
Mark Feldman on 86, Facebook. 74. I love it. Love it, Mark.
Oh, yeah, love it. See, so last time
Sunday's game was the most I could relax during a Purdue game.
Yeah. Well, I kind of stopped paying attention at one point. Like, so I was checking the phone. I was, talking to people. And
it was fun.
Yeah. It was really enjoyable. Let's do it again.
All right. So we'll go ahead and predict the Elite Eight then based on our matchups. So we both have UConn playing. UConn playing Illinois.
UConn.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. North Carolina against Arizona.
I think North Carolina gets it done. It's stupid. I hate picking the ones, but like, I mean, it's so chalk, which was it's only the fifth time that all ones and twos have made the Sweet 16, which is crazy. Yeah, I feel like Arizona doesn't play enough defense to pull this one out.
I'm right there with you. Duke against Marquette.
It's probably back. I'm picking Duke. I don't know.
I'm right there with you. I don't know why.
Yeah. I feel like they didn't impress me down the stretch in ACC play. I mean, I saw them play against North Carolina twice. I watched both North Carolina games, and they did not impress me, but I don't know. Maybe it's the name. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like been there, done that as a program. Yeah. All-time winningest percentage for any team in the NCAA term of history that's played a minimum of 20 games.
So I heard you ask that question on your other podcast. I was going to say UCLA. That was my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
but then I was like, also like when they won the championship, there was like four teams in the tournament, so
right. And then you have Purdue against Tennessee. I have Purdue against Creighton.
Purdue can't lose to Tennessee. I can't do it. Can't do it.
I can't that either. I think if Purdue gets past Gonzaga Friday, no matter who they play, Tennessee or Creighton, I think they find a way to get it done. And it's just so crazy that what they might have to go through to get to Phoenix. You got to exercise the demons of Detroit for Purdue basketball history. You know, Isaac Haas against Cal State Fullerton happened in Detroit. Mitch Richmond and Kansas State happened to Three Amigos in Detroit. And this time there's a good chance, they're playing Gonzaga, who they already took care of once this year. If they get past them, they might play against Tennessee, who they've already taken care of once this year. It's like they're going to have to do what the Three Amigos couldn't do and beat a team twice in the season. So, but I just find out, I think the story continues through the weekend. So, Purdue could play in order, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette, and then Arizona or Illinois.
I don't even want to think about Purdue playing Illinois. Like, that makes me like that's up there with like thinking about playing like IU in a national championship, like vomit all game, all weekend. Like, I couldn't do it.
I almost threw up on my podcast last night thinking that next Monday, because my co-host of my other podcast is a big Illinois fan, that we could potentially talk about Illinois and Purdue both in Final Four next week. Next week's episode. I about threw up just thinking about that. So. Happy to still be dancing. Absolutely. Happy to still be playing. Happy to be talking about it.
Crazy that I feel like this gets lost so much just because of last year, St. Peter's, North Texas. Like, Purdue's made the Sweet 16 five of the last seven tournaments. Yes. Like,
and I don't even put that much stock in the North Texas. I'm sorry, that whole year. And I know they did what they had.
Purdue overachieved from what we thought. It was a weird year, anyways. Like, no fans. Like, but like again, Purdue, we had no expectations. It was a fun year because we had no expectations, and obviously, we saw Jaden Ivey come up. Zach Edey was a, we thought he was gonna be redshirting going his freshman year. What's his face transfers, Harms transfers. It was found money. The tournament was all in Indy. Like, obviously, it sucked, but I mean, that team was so young. Like, it was just kind of like, I wasn't really, like, I remember when we lost, it was like, oh, that sucks. But this team is so much more ahead of it than what it was.
I handled that loss a lot better than any of the other double digit seed losses.
And also, I think it goes back to just like, I was just happy to have the tournament. Cause again, like last year, the year before that, it got taken away from us because of COVID. Yeah. It's just like, it's like as much as it sucked not being able to go to games, but like, it's like I was able to watch Purdue basketball for a whole season was awesome.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. But yeah, that's the one that whenever they put up there, I don't put too much stock into, even though it happened. So you gotta, mention it.
So. I have to ask. So I mean, I know Boyle Sports does this a lot, where they joke about the Matt Painter coaching tree of the, you know, Chris Beard. They beat Purdue as when he was at Arkansas Little Rock. North Texas coach got hired somewhere after they beat Purdue. Shaheen Holloway got hired at Seton Hall after, and then obviously then what's his face?
Danny Sprinkle.
FDU got the FDU's coach got hired last year. Yeah. Now, like, but can we include Danny Sprinkle after Purdue blew the doors off? He gets hired at Washington.
Yes, we can. And he's now gonna be a Big Ten foe, yeah, which is so weird to think about. But
I mean, he's actually a really good coach. I mean, the fact that he was able to do that, you know, first year coming from Montana State, in the, you know, Mountain West, that got, he won the league, that got six teams in, like, that was like, that was just really, that was worrying me. It was like, this is like, obviously, yes, the name is not, it's not a, you know, a Texas A&M. It's not a Power Five school, but like, I mean, it's not a slouch of a league, that's for sure.
No.
And so that gave me cause for concern. But I mean, yeah, Purdue took care of him, and I mean, yeah, we'll see him next year.
Well, it is wild to see these, and rightfully so, I guess, in some circumstances. Other circumstances, I think schools are making the wrong hire just based on one game or two in the NCAA tournament, but it is crazy to see all these major coaches after their teams are out, and the NCAA tournament's like, new job.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. I was thinking about this today, listening to Ruben Humble, they're talking about all the coaching changes. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you see guys jump really quickly, but I feel also like you have to, because with the with the portal and all that, like, you have a good year.
Yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee that you're going to have a good year next year, because half your team could leave. I mean, I thought about Lewis at Ball State. He had a really good year last year. You know, had he, you know, gotten another good year this year, he could have maybe gotten another job. But they didn't have a good year this year because, I mean, they lost guys to the portal. You look at, you know, Shirts at Indiana State. Like, I feel like he has to take a job somewhere, like a Power Five somewhere, like, because there's no guarantee that they're going to have.
So did he not take the St. Louis job?
I haven't seen him in St. Louis has even been hired, but I know he's been linked to Louisville. So you wonder if, like, he's kind of weighing his options.
Because there was rumors he was going to take the St. Louis job.
Yeah, I heard that, but I wonder if
lateral move.
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, they're in the, they're in A-10.
A-10.
A little bit better conference.
Yeah, but
yes, I mean, like, you look at St. Louis versus like Louisville, it's apples and oranges. Right. You wonder, but yeah, it's just crazy that these guys have to. I mean, like, Dusty Mays, obviously, I know you're kind of alluding to, of like, you know, last year he goes on a run, hell of a run. Obviously, it helps that he played a 16 seed in the second round, thanks to FDU and Purdue.
Should have been out in the first round against Memphis.
But, you know, this year underachieved throughout the regular season, I feel like, they brought almost everybody back.
Right.
Get bounced in the first round. But now he's the coach, which I was surprised because it's not like he was going to go to Louisville. But, I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I feel like he's a pretty decent coach, but we'll see. I mean, it's probably a good spot for him because it's, you know, basketball is not central there as it is, would be at Louisville.
Correct.
But yeah, we'll see. Cause it could be a Holtman type hire where, like, you know, it's going to be okay, but then it's just a disaster by the end.
Mike Davis type. I always go back to Mike Davis, Indiana.
Yeah.
But actually, Mike Davis is, I compare that to Diebler at Ohio State. We'll see how that turns out. But Louisville's really.
The more I've talked to Ohio State, and I've talked with JR about this on the Big Ten Huddle, and I talked to other Ohio State fans in my personal life, but I feel like it sounds like Diebler did a lot of recruiting too. So I wonder if that helps, like, you know, keep these guys, but also, like, you know, will he, you know, because I feel like, you know, Ohio State was getting legit players. I mean, Bruce Thornton was a borderline five star on some, you know, sites. But like, it sounded like Diebler was a recruiter for a lot of these big guys. So you wonder if, you know, how much will that even fall off with him, but you never know. Yeah.
But speaking of the Painter coaching tree, even though this guy was more of the Katie coaching tree, but he coached with Painter and played alongside Matt Painter and his son's on Purdue's team. That is Chase Martin. Konzo Martin, it looks like he's going back to Missouri State where he was a decade plus ago.
And so was Paul Lusk at one point, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yes. Yes. So, Konzo was Missouri State, and then he was at
Tennessee,
then Cal, then Missouri. Missouri, thank you. Yeah. So good to see him back, getting back into coaching. I'm guessing that's the end of his podcasting days, but that's okay. Coaching pays the bills more.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, Chase being a senior, like, you know, now he's not to worry about him, you know, missing his games, which is pretty cool that he did that. Obviously, I mean, he's definitely made enough money to support that, but good to see him back in the coaching realm.
Yep. A lot of coaches can't give it up. They can't stay away.
No.
Like, you know, Jay Wright's a big fish out there. I still think someday we'll see him come back. I don't know.
You do? I think he's done.
NIL, but
yeah. Man, I mean, he's got such a sweet gig with CBS now. Like, I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I don't see him coming back. If he doesn't,
I know Calipari's coming back to Kentucky, and I'm a broken record saying nobody does less with more talent than John Calipari. Yeah. But if Kentucky would have decided to split ways, they should. Jay Wright should be on their.
I was going to ask you, is like, it had, you know, they split ways with Calipari. Who would have you, like, you know, top two, three guys? Who would you say, like, if you were Kentucky's AD, like, obviously Kentucky's, I mean, they're probably the second biggest name in college outside of Kansas, I would guess, if not number one. You could ask anybody, but who would you go after?
I think Jay Wright would be one you ask. Honest to God, I think you give Matt Painter a call. Hope he wouldn't leave. I don't think he would leave. I think you give him a call. I think he's that well respected around the country.
I didn't say Danny Hurley. I said you make Danny Hurley say so. I mean, he's an East Coast guy. He went to Seton Hall, like, so I feel like it's gonna be hard to pull him from there. But I mean, Kentucky's got stupid money, and, you know, is his ego big enough to think that he could do it at Kentucky?
UConn's such a, and Kentucky's a basketball school first, but they got a good football program. UConn's got a trash football program, and he's pretty safe there. He's won a national title, and they've proven they're a sleeping dynasty. So, I don't think you call Mark Few. I think he's likes where he's at, and he's about done.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good question. I can't think of, like, there's not like a young guy that just blows me away. Maybe they call Brad Stevens, but I feel like that's kind of wore off too.
So the names that I was like, I've heard people say, like, you know, before Kentucky kind of turned on at the end, was like, you call Danny Hurley, make him say no, and you call Scott Drew, make him say no.
Scott Drew.
Those are another ones. I mean, again, Midwest guy, man, I know Kentucky's second in the South, but like, I think Scott Drew is actually Baptist, which Kentucky's pretty big Baptist state. So, like, you know, he'd get along well that way and all that. But I don't know. Maybe you continue to call. He goes Kentucky, Louisville, back to Kentucky.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he's something, that guy. Boilers 7:39 tip Friday night on True TV and TBS, I want to say.
Lapis is doing our game. I was really upset when I saw that. Did he do our FDU game last year?
I don't recall. I've really tried to block a majority of that game out of my mind, even though I never will be able to.
TBS True TV. I also heard Robbie's going to be in Detroit doing, I think, Westwood One Radio. So hopefully let's get two wins for Robbie.
Yes.
If you're watching.
Yes. Gene should be in the house. Mm-hmm. Coach Katie. So, but 7:39 tip. That's, you know, right around dinner time, maybe late dinner time, but right around dinner time, nobody wants to cook on a Friday night, especially when the Boilers are playing. So that's why you should give Mad Mush a call, or go into Mad Mush or order online. Boiler Breakdowns brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan, Andrew, or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which their pizza of the month for March is the Chicken Caprese Pizza. It's a blended tomato sauce with chicken, chopped garlic, fresh spinach, grated Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, and fresh mozzarella pearls, finished with basil and a balsamic glazed drizzle, starting at $14. So whenever you're in town, or next time you're in town, and like Friday night, for instance, stop in, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5. Claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. Mad Mushroom, feed your pet.
Big Ten news, not tournament, but NIT, is Georgia defeated Ohio State 79-77 quarterfinal.
All righty.
So no Big Ten teams left in the NIT.
Doesn't hurt my feelings, to be honest. Another sponsor that the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by, and that's the sponsor that's on board just for March Madness, but we are pumped to have them on board. That is Autograph, which is Autograph's a company co-founded by probably the greatest quarterback of all time, even though I don't care for the guy, Tom Brady. Valgraph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you, like Evan, like myself, everybody watching, listening to this podcast, access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like crazy discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. Be on the lookout. They're doing specials right now for Sweet 16 tickets in Detroit. So make sure you check that out in the app. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing things you already do as a fan, like listening to the Boiler Breakdown podcast, following news on the Boilermakers, and sharing your favorite content and more. Download the free Autograph app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Use referral code BREAK. That's in lowercase BREAK. See you at the game. And you can also just scan the QR code right here on our screen. That works as well. And lastly, here's a Jameson Battle missed the three at the buzzer.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so, of course, now he misses. and Evan, our last sponsor of the Boiler Breakdown is The Shop. Why don't you tell everybody a little more about The Shop?
Of course, The Shop has been, you know, serving fans hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in garages, and they've got three retail locations. Hopefully, if you're in Indy for the first two rounds, you're able to make it to one of the three locations in downtown Indy, Broad Ripple, or Carmel. They make incredible shirts for schools all across the state, whether it's the Boilers, the Hoosiers, the Sycamores, who are in the NIT quarterfinals tonight. Tanner's wearing an awesome football shirt.
Never too early to start talking about football. I wanted a long sleeve. It's cold up
here. So. Never too early to start talking about football. Excited to see what we're doing. I've got the kind of the similar to the font on the jerseys for basketball. Super comfortable shirts. I've got, you know, Purdue Pete drinkware here. They got all things Indiana, the state of Indiana, whether it's schools, sports, or pop culture. They're always coming out with new stuff. Indy 500 coming up, which is crazy. May's almost here.
When they drop that merch every year is awesome.
Yeah, the incredible Indy 500 merch. They do stuff with the Indianapolis Indians. Like it's awesome. Great people. You know, great products. And if you go to theshopindy.com, use promo code breakdown for 25% off your first order.
Yeah, you will not be disappointed. It's not just saying this because they're a sponsor, Papa. This is so comfortable.
Like, so I was buying the shop before they ever sponsored us. So,
Yep. Amen to that. So it's cool when you walk around and see so many people wearing new merch from the shop, too. It's awesome. So hopefully you've used that discount code. If not, get on it. So, all right, Webby, any closing final thoughts as we wrap up what's hopefully not our last postseason episode of Boiler Breakdown?
Yes, so hopefully we're back again next week talking about something we've never covered on the Boiler Breakdown.
Goosebumps, man.
I know. Hopefully we're talking about, you know, trip to Phoenix and how we're gonna get there and trying to do whatever we can to get to Phoenix. It's exciting, you know, getting obviously the tournament's awesome, getting past the first two rounds is kind of gives you that extra oomph of like, okay, now, you know, we know the best teams are left, and it's just time to just go out and just kick some Gonzaga ass.
Yes. Boiler up, hammer down, beat the Bulldogs and either the Blue Jays or Volunteers.
Boiler up.